I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George and Michael Connor here with you today. Right now we're joined by Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Lee, hope you're doing well. Getting ready for Thanksgiving. We got a lot of good games coming up. Rivalry weekend in college football. And Lee will kick it off today. We got Baylor, 2.5-point favorites versus the Houston Cougars. How are you feeling about that one?
Well, it would have felt better if we got the win last week. So, I mean, just so close. You got to do the little things. And last week, you know, they had a shot taken to overtime. Couldn't pull it out. It was right there. I mean, you look at the stats, almost everything being the same. I thought they were going to pull it out, but, just one play, make that field goal. And, you know, usually that's the difference. And that's the way it was. Now, I think going against Baylor's one of these teams here. I think they might have quit here. I mean, the turnovers here, the missed assignments, the penalties, everything seems to be adding up. So I think Houston's just been a play away here, and they're building, though. I like Houston here. I think the wrong team is favored. Give me the Cougs here. I think they win this game here 27-21, straight up.
Cougars fans will absolutely love to hear that. Battle in the state of Tennessee this weekend. The Volunteers up against Vandy. What are you thinking there?
Well, Vanderbilt certainly improved. I mean, even over last year, they're going to have to, though, maybe play a few more players in this game. Why do I say that? Because Tennessee's pace of play, 13th as far as pace. They get off an average of 73 plays per game. Hurt them last year. They wore down. The final was 36-23, but if you watch the game again, it was clearly decided early. Tennessee had a 528-212 total yard advantage here. Vanderbilt, they've closed the gap here. They're going to probably have to be plus one or plus two in turnovers here. I think actually Joey Swagler is an upgrade here over Nico from last year. I like Tennessee. I think they've closed the gap, Vandy, but Tennessee at home, tough animal to take. Balls here, 35-28.
Lee, we got a big one. Obviously, we're back. It's back to Black Friday. Texas A&M, 2.5-point favorites versus UT, coming off a day, a game which Arch Manning has 6 touchdowns in the game. It's a big one. Who do you got in this game?
You guys could have thrown for 3 touchdowns each against that Arkansas defense. I mean, the breakdowns, you talk about receivers running wide open. Tackling is horrendous. Texas offense is definitely better, but look what the defense has done. Yeah, they had a tough assignment the first week against Ohio State, but the last 3 games against Vandy gave up 31, Georgia 35, and Arkansas 37, and really about over 25% of that game was played with a backup quarterback for Arkansas. So I think Texas A&M has been holding back. I think they have a playbook ready. They're going to unleash some plays that Texas hasn't seen. I think Texas A&M is better in almost every position, and I love their 2 receivers, Concepcion and Craver. 2 guys have combined for 99 receptions, 13 touchdowns, almost 16 and 17 yards of reception, and their 3rd guy, Ashton Bethel-Roman, he's only accounted for 5 touchdowns and almost 25 yards a reception here. The biggest strength, though, for A&M is their pass rush, number 2 in the nation, with 39 sacks, and we know that's Texas's weakness here. A&M gets revenge for last year, 38-31.
All right, let's go to the pro side of things. The Bills coming off of a beatdown defensively against the Texans this past week here in Houston. Taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and what's going on with their quarterback situation? What do you think on this one?
Well, I thought Mason Rudolph, except for the interception and fumble, played well. So, obviously, turnovers in the NFL make a big, big difference. But Buffalo, I mean, you guys just took the heart and soul out of them. I'm not sure if they're ever going to recover. They lost a couple key starters now on defense in that game. And who knows if the Bills will ever be the same. But I think the Steelers' running game and short passing game is going to be enough here to keep this Bills offense off the field here. I think the Steelers are the right side. Wrong team favored. Steelers straight up 26-20.
And then we got the Texans and the Colts this weekend. Colts favored by 3.5 right now. I've seen some movement, Lee, but we think C.J. Stroud's coming back this weekend. We have to wait till tomorrow to get the full padded practice to see him officially coming back, but it feels like he's going to play. So you got Colts or Texans this weekend.
Yeah, and look at the offense last week. I mean, they did the job, offensive line. All they need is 100 yards rushing a game. That's all you need to get, and play complementary football. That's going to win a lot of games for you. And so I was impressed with what the offense did. The offensive line starting to come around. They don't have to be great. They just have to hold their own. And then the Colts stopped the last five drives, 3 and out. So I told everyone last seven games are going to be really tough for this Colts team here. Pressure here and facing better opponents who aren't ready for them. I like the fact Texans get those extra 3 days to prepare here. I know they're upset. Texans pull it off here, 24-23 over the Colts.
I like the way you're thinking, Lee. All right, Thanksgiving matchup. Chiefs, Cowboys, game of the week. Where do people find it? And how are you cooking your turkey this Thursday?
Wow. Oh, it starts on Thursday. What a schedule, Detroit and Green Bay. And then this game, Kansas City and Dallas, even the Baltimore game. And Cincy now with Joe Burrow playing, which looked like a dud, is must-see TV. I mean, the schedule for Friday game, Philly and Chicago, are you kidding me? So if you want to get involved, we'll give you the Chiefs and Cowboys game for free. I love one side of this game. Call 800-400-9741. Chiefs Cowboys game on me, 800-400-9741. And what a roll we've been on, 34-15-1 the last 10 Sundays, last 50 plays in the NFL. We have what's called the, how about get this, it's not Thanksgiving here. It is the Turkey Shootout, the world famous Turkey Shootout. 15 games from Thursday all the way through Sunday. We've had 1-14-1 finish, a couple 13-2, 12-3, 11-4 records. You're looking to have some fun. Bet on the games the entire weekend. Normally it's $297. Last year we had it for $197. $97 this year, and we have a rare 40 to 50 unit max wager. How can you get it? $97 for 15 games, just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate you. Enjoy the games this weekend. Like I said, great games on Thursday, college football rivalry weekend as well. So enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week.
You too, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. That's Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, joins us every single week. We'll be back to his normal time slot on Thursday next week. Let's take our break here, Michael. When we get back, let's get back into the college football conversation. The rankings come out tonight, but, well, none of the teams in the top 12 lost over the weekend, so not a lot of change to be expected. And I got a question about LSU, if they're Bush League or not. We'll get to all of that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Michael Connor here with us today. Joe George, Jeremy will be back on Monday. The entire show will be off tomorrow, but John Lansdell or John McGillendell will be on from 7 to 10.
Where's Lance?
He's on vacation.
Doing what? His life is a vacation.
He's taking time off.
He doesn't need time off.
I mean, this is actually like the first time I've seen Lance take like actual vacation in a while.
I can't talk too much mess. He's got me hooked up for
because typically
a dinner coming up.
I feel like Lance goes on vacation from the station. And then he's still in his office, like, grinding NFL tape.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, why are you here? He's like, I got tape to watch.
It used to be because he hated being at home with his, 9 million children because he, didn't know about safe sex. Now they're all old enough.
Yeah, they're all.
I guess it doesn't matter as much.
Well, maybe he's probably doing a vacation away from them.
I mean, I saw he's basically running a an illegal MMA ring over there.
I saw that at the Zerline house. I saw that video.
Just beating the crap out of each other.
It's so funny whenever the basketball video pops up, it goes
viral. I know.
Probably like once a year, I would say, of Lance's kids like going viral on Twitter.
See, I wish you had known Snacks when he was a kid. He'd bring him up to that radio station. He'd just want to fight with me because he thought I was like the worst on the radio.
What's the most? Okay, I have a very funny story. I'm not going to name the person.
Because it's a
funny story, but it's a bad story at the same time.
Okay.
He brought his kid up. It's when we used to have the network, and I was producing on it, and his kid was just hanging out with me, and in the studio, he was young. At one point, he stops talking, and he starts. Like waving him off, starts yelling to the microphone. I'm looking forward at the host.
Okay.
Hit this little kid, put a plastic bag over his head.
What?
And like started like nearly suffocating himself.
I shouldn't laugh.
Like, but it was like.
Did you rip it off his head?
No, the kid stopped when he heard his dad yell at him.
Oh my God.
But like I've had some weird moments. The old network here, there was a lot of those weird moments, I would say, in my career.
Yeah.
That might be, I have to say after this weekend, that might be the number two moment of the weirdest things that's happened in my radio career that I've been involved with. I think Sunday takes the cake, to be honest with you.
I saw the tweet.
It wasn't
great. Somebody sent it to me and was like, what happened? Yeah, and I was I have no idea.
Yeah, we got hacked over the weekend. Not great. But we solved it very quickly. Our engineer did an A-plus job getting that corrected. But yeah, that's probably one of the top two weirdest things that's ever happened to me.
I can't say my weirdest thing that happened to me in my radio career on the air.
I got another good one, too, that happened in that old studio that is no longer ours.
The weirdest one, the worst one, was getting kicked out of NFL Radio Row.
Yep.
Without a doubt. Being pulled out, being literally almost dragged out of there by NFL security because some fat boy decided that he wanted to make a scene.
Yep. I wasn't there for that one. I was at one of the other stations at the time.
Yeah.
There was also, at one point in this building when I used to work here, a show was going on. It was Creighton and Nate Griffin. And there was a rat in the studio.
No!
And they caught it. But then there was two of them. And there is rat trap. They put a rat trap in the studio.
Oh, my God.
And we could see behind Patrick.
The rat?
The rat crawling down.
No.
And on the air, AJ, I'm not kidding. You heard the snap of the neck.
No.
From the rat trap. You could hear it on the microphone.
Oh.
It was one of the wildest things I've ever seen.
Someone should have clipped that.
That was before we had video
and
everything. It was the network. It was not 97.5. But it was, I could not believe that. Like, and because we didn't know what to do. Because we wanted him to freak out. Like, we're like, there's a rat behind you, like, on the air. Yeah. Radio. Things happen.
Oh, the best one. I almost watched Charlie Polo die one time.
Oh, the lightning?
Yeah, that was great. At the golf tournament.
Yeah.
And literally, like, the tent is, like, flying all over. It was, like, basically almost, it was almost a tornado out there.
Yeah.
And he's like, the tent just, there goes a chair. I came to a golf tournament to get wet and die.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
It's so Charlie. So over the weekend, we'll get to the college football playoff stuff here in a second. We'll get the rankings coming out tonight. I'm just curious your thoughts on this. So I did not realize that there was nepotism happening at LSU.
Okay.
But apparently Brian Kelly's son is a member of LSU's roster.
Did you see he was free his boy? Once he's free his boy.
Should LSU have allowed Brian Kelly to come back to be with his son for senior night?
Yeah, absolutely. It's his kid.
I get why they couldn't. They finally, I guess they officially fired him or started the paperwork. Like, I think that's even officially done yet, that whole weird process of the way they handled this, where they fired him, and they didn't fire him because they wanted cause. They can't find cause.
In what world? They must be like truly hemorrhaging some money over there, because all these other schools, they just cut, fire him and pay the whatever's left. They don't care.
But they don't care because they're still paying. Because they're still.
But why are they fighting about it?
And they're still paying. They're still paying Orgeron.
That's true.
So like, I think they just wanted to get out of this one because they know it's a bad deal. Which is then why I find it comical.
If I was Brian Kelly, I would fight for every penny I'm owed.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I think it's comical that like they're trying to do this, and like if I'm Lane Kiffin, I'm like a little concerned that like they're offering you a $90 million contract. That's awesome, But they're also trying to, right now, stop from paying $54 million to Brian Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay, so if it goes badly for 3 years and I get fired and there's $45 million left on my contract, whatever it is,
I'm going to have to fight for it.
Or am I going to have to fight for
it? Or I could stay here at Ole Miss.
And if
get
I get
the same
fired,
contract, and they're probably just going to hand it to me because they're, you know.
And same with Florida. Like, Florida will just hand it to you. Like, if you don't do anything wrong and you get fired, like, you're just going to get that contract.
Did Brian Kelly do anything wrong other than his team sucking?
Not really.
How can you fire? Honestly, like, unless there's some egregious things happening behind the scenes, I don't see how you can get how they win this. And I'm not a lawyer. Maybe we need to get, you know, a lawyer on. I don't know.
No, there have to be. I mean, like, we saw this with North Carolina a little bit where. When there's all those rumors going around that they were going to try to get out of Belichick, after like week four, they hit a coach up for a recruiting violation and fired him, and that can be a mark on the, you know, for a cause for fire.
Okay,
they could get out of contract.
Okay,
but they haven't been able to. You know, there's nothing reported yet so far on Brian Kelly and how they can get out of it. I think they're just trying to be a little sneaky here and trying to find their way out of it.
Yeah, they also. Realized quickly that they made a massive mistake. They hated his guts because he didn't fit. It never fit. It never fit from the second they hired that man. When he went a family, like
he's not a fit. I don't know where I'm.
He was a fit where he was.
Not really.
I mean, yeah, maybe not. Maybe he was. You know, he was a fit at Cincinnati.
No one was. I was pissed when Brian Kelly left, just because Notre Dame season wasn't over. I think they were ranked sixth in the country. Sixth or seventh in the country or in the college football playoff rankings. And they needed a lot of help. But there was rivalry weekend was coming up, and there was enough results that could transpire in which Notre Dame could have been the four seed in the playoff. It didn't unfold that way. But he left Notre Dame before those games took place.
Yeah.
He was at LSU, like, or maybe it was conference championship weekend would have had to play out a certain way. I think it was conference championship weekend. And he left. He did the same thing at Cincinnati. He left to Notre Dame before their bowl game when things were going well for them. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's like James Franklin, where James Franklin, while disliked by some, is liked by many and got a job immediately. I think Brian Kelly is going to have a hard time finding a job in college football to his standard.
I'm about to say for his ego.
Yeah.
Because he's not. I mean, look, James Franklin took a step back. He went. I mean, not that Virginia Tech is a horrible landing spot, but it's not Penn State.
No,
he's going to have to do that. Is Brian Kelly? His ego's not letting him do that.
No, and
he's gonna be like Jimbo. He's gonna be at home somewhere.
Well, they also say like he had, you know, what's the best way to put this? He just stopped caring. Like you can track his golfing, and it increased dramatically. And that's how they knew he was getting fired, was because his tee time got canceled.
Oh.
That, like, he had every single Sunday. So, like, he golfed more than he had at Notre Dame, which, I mean, you're in South Bend, Indiana, so your golf season's a little more limited.
Yeah.
But he wasn't recruiting as much as he was before. Like, it kind of feels like he took a back burner to that job and did not give it the
He got an ass ton of money to go down there. He probably wasn't going to ever leave Notre Dame unless somebody did that, and that's exactly what happened. And that was his retirement.
And I'm glad I couldn't be happier that he left.
Oh yeah, your team there.
Marcus Freeman is going nowhere.
You hope
the only job he will take is not going to open anytime soon.
The Ohio State job.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's not going to take the LSU job. He's not going to take the Penn State job. He's going to be at Notre Dame. Like I think Ohio State is the only job that he would leave for. And that's because that's where he played football.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Day going nowhere fast.
Yeah.
They tried to fire him last year, but then he won the college football championship. So
Ohio State fans are idiots.
Yeah. I mean, and what's funny is, like, what if they lose? If they lose this weekend, people are going to freak out again.
No, they'll want to fire it again.
Like, because, like, you have to beat Michigan. There's a lot of Ohio State fans who last year, which I think is kind of insane to say, like, well, if they would have beat Michigan, I would have rather beat Michigan and lost the national championship game. Or not even made it.
This is why they're idiots.
Like, I don't think Aggies are saying that. Like, they want to win on Friday. They want to beat Texas.
It's not going to make or break their season if they lose.
But they want to win a national championship.
Yeah, like, they could lose and win the national championship. That'd be fine.
Like, they'll be upset.
God, I hope that doesn't happen.
But, like, you'll be crushed.
I won't be crushed. I just won't like it.
Because you're a Bama guy.
Well, my wife is a Bama girl, so I, by marriage, am a Bama guy. But dude, I got my Red Raiders in there. Like, I mean, this is the season of all seasons right here. I can't tell if they're real or not. They play in the Big 12, which I can easily admit is not a great conference. I'm excited to see them play a big boy. Or, you know, I say a big boy. They're a big boy. But to see them play a team that's not in the Big 12.
Does your guy deserve to be a Jacob Rodriguez? Do you think he's going to be a Heisman finalist?
I doubt it.
That disappoints me. The odds have been changing pretty dramatically. He has not risen as others have.
He's worthy of some conversation.
But there are, and this might have changed over the weekend. But going into last week, there were only four teams in college football, including Texas Tech, who had more turnovers than he had by himself.
Yeah.
He had 16. He was tied for fourth in college football as with teams. Like that, to me, it puts you in the Heisman conversation. Right now,
and he's on a great team at playing great defense, actually. And,
yeah. You know. The odds have changed really dramatically. On Saturday night, I looked at this, and I was shocked to see Jeremiah Love still plus 1,500 to win the Heisman. In 3 days, he has moved to plus 350. He is the number two guy for the Heisman. It's Fernando Mendoza minus 115, then Jeremiah Love, then Julian Sain, then Diego Pavia, then Marcel Reed is fifth. I know Jacob Rodriguez, he's plus, 20,000. He's not going to win it, but he deserves to be there. Like, it, to me, like, there's no question about it. Like,
we got to give Love to defenders and stuff, too.
Yeah, just at least, like, there's five invites typically on most years. It's not always, but there's going to be five people invited next year. Saying Mendoza, probably Pavia, and then to me, Jeremiah Love and Jacob Rodriguez have to be invited. I know I'm biased. I think Jeremiah Love should win the Heisman this year. It's the best player in college football. I think he is that. Julian Saying, good player at Ohio State, like what he's done. He's not even close to being the best player on his football team. He's at least, at best, the third best player on Ohio State's roster. Mendoza's the best player on Indiana, but... So it's probably Mendoza's award, but like to me, like it's like Rodriguez, he has to be there.
It'd be great. You sign me up for it. I think it's the first time since I think Graham Harrell and Michael Crabtree.
I will say I do very much like. I think the rankings are pretty set at this point. Like we'll see how college football the weekend plays out, the rival weekend, and then conference championship weekend. I will say, Michael, I very much want you and me to not be friends for a week.
What, you want Notre Dame?
Yeah, because when McGuire started running his mouth about Notre Dame because of BYU joining the conference, it put Texas Tech on my radar.
Oh, no.
It's like, I so badly, and there's really...
I hope you get to meet Joe. I met Joe McGuire last year. Really nice guy.
I'm sure he is, but really like, nice when you guy. Talk trash about Notre Dame, like you just, you know, you go up my crap list a little bit. Okay. And that's why James Franklin was on it last year.
I'm good. I'm good with it. Let's play. Let's go. Let's duke it out.
The only way Texas Tech does that, Texas Tech would have to lose.
Yeah, and that's probably not happening.
And then you could get 8-9 Tech Notre Dame.
That'd be pretty cool.
Which would be great. If it's in Lubbock, we're going.
Oh, I mean, my oldest nephew just got accepted. He got his acceptance letter the other day. He needs a visit. He needs a visit to go, you know, check it out and see where he wants to live and whatnot. Yeah. So
Tech Notre Dame is like one of the first round matchups that, even though I think Texas Tech's going to win it out and be a top, you know, potentially four seed and get a bye in the first round.
Texas Tech in a bye. What a world we could be living in.
Look, man, this guy, he's trying to save college football. Like the guy who
gave him
all that money, like he gave him, what, $20 million last year?
People can say whatever they want. It's within the rules. They're playing within the rules.
Absolutely.
Go do their thing.
They're doing nothing wrong. Like, Ohio State did it last year, and that's what all these teams are. All these – the LSU report is $90 million for Lane Kiffin, $25 million for his roster. Like, they're wanting to commit $115 million to his roster and Lane Kiffin next year at LSU. And they're saying Florida's offer is very similar, and Ole Miss is offering something in the same ballpark, which – I don't know where Ole Miss gets that money from.
Dude, have you ever been to Ole Miss? There's a bunch of old rich white people that went there. Now they just got to get the fundraising going.
Yeah, they just got to start spending.
Yeah.
Which I would imagine like they're going to with wanting Lane Kiffin to stay.
It's such a – I mean, football, college football has become – I mean, it always has been, but it's become this status symbol like more than ever. I mean, like these rich people can literally buy their way into basically manipulating programs how they want it.
I mean, like we saw it happen over the summer with LSU. Like Dave Portnoy – from Barstool Sports becomes one of the he's not the main guy, but he puts in a couple million dollars to take Bryce Underwood away from LSU, give him $12 million to become the Michigan quarterback before he ever plays a game. It's only because Portnoy and others like stepped up and they're like, hey, you're coming to Michigan. Here's $12 million. You're going to play right away. You're not going to sit behind Nussmeier. And he did it. And then the kid could transfer this offseason and go get $15 million elsewhere.
What a life as a college athlete.
The funniest thing in the world would be like after Michigan paid him all that money is for him to go back into the portal and be the LSU quarterback next year for Lane Kiffin. And go get like $15 million from Lane Kiffin.
That'd be pretty great.
Which would be wild. Like you get $25 million from your roster, 15 of it goes to your
I will say there that is a problem. They shouldn't be able to just jump ship like that every year. Like there shouldn't be free agency like that.
Yeah, I would like to see it change. It's my biggest thing with college football is I think there should be some I like the old rule better. Like I'm fine with like letting kids transfer, but I liked people having to sit for a year. But we don't make normal students do it. So like as long as they're students, it always was unfair to hold athletes to a different standard than, you know, anyone else. Like you could go and be in the chess club at LSU and you could transfer to Texas Tech and be in the chess club.
Or the meat judging club.
I know it's apples to oranges.
National championships every year in the meat judging game.
For Texas Tech?
Yep. You never heard about this?
No.
Oh, dude, during the break, you got to Google Texas Tech meat judging. It's a thing,
look,
man.
This is a company Wi-Fi. That makes me a little nervous.
It's a legit thing.
I'm just scared what's going to pop.
I'll pull it up on my iPad.
All right, let's talk more about the college football playoffs.
Oh, you want to talk more meat judging?
Yep. Who's a lock for the college football playoffs? We'll get to that next year. He's Michael Connor. I'm Joe George. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. D&M Auto Leasing, they solve your car problems. They can do it right now. You don't want to be stuck in a seven-year loan. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the money. Look, most people get a new car every 3 years. When you get these seven-year loans, you're paying off huge chunks of car payments just to get out of that car and get into a new one. Well, at D&M Leasing, they solve that problem because they have the easy lease. They offer lower monthly payments, no money down in terms that make sense. Don't overpay, solve the payment problem, and don't get stuck in a seven-year loan. All you have to do, go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000. You'll speak with one person the entire time, one of their leasing agents right here in Houston. Their office is actually located in the Galleria, but everything's done online and on the phone. It's DocuSign. You don't have to go anywhere. You can test drive a car, of course, but like you don't have to go in and sign a bunch of paperwork. They send all of it to you. They'll bring the car to you. They'll take your trade-in. They make the process as easy and simple as possible. Check them out right now. Go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 and tell them Joe George and ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George, Michael Connor here with you today until 6 o'clock. We've got Texas A&M basketball coming up tonight at 6:30 as they take on, I think it's Mississippi Valley State.
Any good?
Don't think so.
Well, who's their coach now? They lost their coach, right?
Bucky McMillan. Oh, A&M's going to be fine this year. I thought you meant Mississippi Valley State.
No, I meant A&M.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine this year. I don't know if they're going to be a great team, but they'll be fine.
Where'd Buzz go to? Virginia Tech?
Yeah. So Buzz Williams and James Franklin.
Yeah.
Running the world at Virginia Tech. What a weird combo that is.
Probably won't work out.
Is Virginia Tech trying to actually be good at sports again?
They're not going to be good.
I think James Franklin can get them back to...
They're not going to be like a power, but he can get them back to respectability.
He can get them in the playoff.
Like it's easy to get the playoff now.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Especially in that conference.
Yeah, especially if there's four automatic qualifiers
that conference
in the ACC.
Blows, man.
Oh, it's awful.
Remember when everybody thought Clemson was going to be great this year?
Well, Dabo, to me, is just cooked.
I don't know how they got rid of him yet.
I don't know. Because, see, my theory with the Dabo Sweeney stuff is that at this point is like the transfer portal, the NIL
He's
money.
He's cooked on it. He refuses to take part in it, doesn't he?
Yes, but I'm starting to wonder if maybe there's limitations that he is being given. With like how much money he has.
Oh, money.
Like he's not being given a $20 million roster.
Probably not.
So like maybe it's some of that. But I mean, but he was weird about the name, image, and likeness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When it came out, you know, he talked more about it was name, image, and his likeness. He wasn't talking about giving the players money. He was talking about, you know, being a faith-based team, which is fine. Like there's nothing wrong with that at
all. Just not going to win.
But like, you're just, if you're not going to get players in the portal, you are setting your, it doesn't always work. Penn State's a great example of that this year. But Clemson's fascinating because they can move on from Dabo, and I would love to see what his job market looks like.
He'd find a job, but it wouldn't be
like he's not the top of the Florida list.
No, like,
but
imagine if the Alabama job was open when he was out. Like, I don't even think Alabama would jump at him.
No, he could have got the job before Kalen DeBoer, but now I don't think so.
Nah, I don't either.
But like, could he be Lane Kiffin's replacement at Ole Miss? I think he could.
Sure.
Like, I think he's gonna get,
I don't think it'd go very well.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna get the Florida job or the LSU job, but like, I think he could get a different, he could get one of the trickle down.
I think his future is preaching on a pew somewhere one day when he's done playing coaching football.
I don't even think it's, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's on TV. Like, I don't think he's a TV guy.
No, no.
Just like Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's not a TV guy.
No. God.
That'd be awful.
Yeah,
Who's a lock for the college football playoff at this point? Ohio State.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I think A&M's a lock. Yeah, they're a lock. Even if they lose their next two games, like, they'd be fine.
Two losses get you in, you're fine.
Georgia.
I think of Georgia Tech this weekend.
Yeah, they're a lock.
They should be a lock.
I mean, Texas Tech, I would say.
They're a lock.
Yeah, because they're not going to lose.
They're going to play. Who are they going to play in the conference championship? They got West Virginia this weekend. They'll win easily. They're going to play, I don't even remember who the hell's at the top. BYU in the conference championship game. They already smacked them around once.
Yeah, I think that's the way of the Big 12. Yeah, right now it's BYU. BYU only has one loss.
Yeah, both teams have one loss. So I think both of those teams have a decent chance.
Well, yeah, I mean, the hard part is you have to get to 10. Like, for BYU to make the playoffs, I think they have to beat Texas Tech in the college
football. Who are they playing? They got to play this weekend, don't they?
Yes, they're playing.
They're already at 10 wins. What are you talking about? Weekend we give them 11.
Oh, yeah. They have to.
You're talking about ranking 10, ranking my bad. 10. Okay, yeah.
Because right now they're not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because of the ACC because of the non-power five, non-power four team that makes it. Ole Miss, I think, is a lock.
What's the point of the rankings if you're just going to shuffle them up like that?
Oregon's the lock. So I think it starts to get interesting when you get 8 through 10. Oklahoma this weekend plays LSU.
Should win.
Obviously, if they lose, they're out. Notre Dame should win this weekend. I mean, if they lose to Stanford, like, they don't deserve to obviously be in the playoff. There's not even a conversation. They'd be a 3-loss team. Alabama, I think there'll be Auburn. They're a lock. Like, I think the playoffs are.
I think Alabama's still in the bubble watch, man. I hate that.
The one team that could knock out Alabama, I think, is BYU. Is that if BYU beats Texas Tech,
they
will move up.
Yeah.
And unless Alabama were to somehow find its way into the SEC title game, I do not think, like, they're not going to move up.
And Bama had this thing right in the bag, man.
And I know a lot of people, like, their issue is Notre Dame, and I'm going to argue against it, but I get it. Like, I get what the argument for is a 2-loss Alabama over a 2-loss Notre Dame. Totally get all of that.
Yeah.
Understand it. But there's just, to me, there's no way Notre Dame at this point is going to drop. Especially after what they did this weekend. Like, they got their style points.
Like, I mean, like, people don't want to live in the world where they think of, they are thinking about the TV aspect of this, too.
They are.
There's no way they're not.
But that's where, like, unless BYU forces their hand, they're going to put Alabama in the playoffs.
I would agree, typically, overall.
And even then, like, I think there's probably people hoping that there's an Oklahoma loss happening.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend to LSU.
I'm praying for an Oklahoma loss.
Because then it puts...
Go Tigers. Yeah, so my wife stops freaking out about Bama not making the playoffs.
It would be... Well, because that could lead to Notre Dame-Bama, first round of the playoffs.
Oh, man.
In South Bend. Like, that to me is another one of the matchups that we could... Because right now...
That one, I would have zero faith in the team that my home roots for in winning.
In the cold?
Yeah, I would have...
Well, it could be. You never know.
I don't think Kalen DeBoer is a bad coach at all. I think he's a good coach. I just don't know how to read him, man. Like, it's 2 years in, and they look great 1 week, then the next week they just look average.
Oh, Buzz Williams is at Maryland. Great catch, Texter. Thank you.
Oh, is it Maryland?
Yeah.
Good catch. Damn, I thought it was West Virginia. Who's at Virginia Tech?
Did he come from Virginia Tech?
He came from Virginia Tech. Yep, that's what it was.
That's what we were thinking. Good catch, Texter. Says I'm wrong about everything. But
I mean, that was me, actually.
It was because I said the Blue Jays were going to win the World Series, and this person's not Keith from LA, but a closeted Dodgers fan, and likes to bring it up.
Everywhere. I mean, it's not your fault that the Blue Jays decided to choke on their own spit at the end of the game.
I still can't believe that they lost, mainly because I still can't believe Kike Hernandez caught that.
Yeah, Kike Hernandez can eat it.
But like that, the fact that he held on to that with the collision, yeah, or the other guy caught it,
whoever caught it,
was a miracle play.
Yeah,
at that point. Because, but yeah, I think the college football playoffs, honestly, like, I think they're pretty set. Like, I don't think this is where I think to the bigger picture of the college football discussion about if the expanded playoffs take away from college football. I think they do a little bit.
Of course they do.
Because of this weekend. Like, I think they're great the entire season. But at the end of the season, everything's kind of locked in. Like Texas A&M could lose their next two games, and I do
not. We see that in the NFL, though, too.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah. But like, I just think.
It's the trade-off.
Oklahoma, and they have to lose to LSU. Notre Dame has to lose to Stanford. Alabama, I think, has to lose to Auburn this weekend for these teams to really be out. BYU is the only team that I think could really make this chaotic and force their way above Alabama, and then you get the ACC and the non-power.
And I could still see BYU being kicked out.
Yeah.
And then we'll hear that fight from those people.
Well, if they win the Big 12, they're in.
Those crazy Mormons.
Yeah. If they win the Big 12, they'll be in for sure.
Speaking of the Mormons, have you ever watched that Mormon show, The Mormon Wives?
So, last night,
my wife watches it. Yep. Man, what a show.
Last night, I was playing College Football 26, and I was playing Dell for the national championship game.
Oh, no. Who won?
I won.
Good for you.
And my wife's watching something on her phone. I was like, what trash are you watching right now? Yeah. And it was that Mormon show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Like you watch some weird, awful shows that I've partaken in, yeah, some of them. I've watched Vanderpump.
I hadn't done that one.
It hooked me in a little bit. I like the drama.
Well, the Mormon show has hooked me in, man. These people are idiots.
I was listening to it, and I was like this. I told her, I was like, this is one I can't do.
I did it.
Like, there are certain ones.
I was in the kitchen cooking the other day. She's watching it. Now I'm sitting here on the couch watching it with her, and I'm like yelling at the TV.
Of like what these dumb people are doing?
Yeah, they're over there just basically having sex all with each other and talking about it.
It happens. I don't get it. There's a lot of things that I've been forced to watch that Jeremy talks about this too. Jeremy is deep into Dancing with the Stars right now.
Oh no. I've never been forced to anything like
one
that.
One of those I'm glad my wife doesn't make me watch.
I think probably the closest for me would be the Holiday Baking Championships.
And see, I don't mind those shows.
But now I don't mind them. I watch them. Yeah. I'm ready to watch. You know why? Because my dog Jesse Palmer hosts the Holiday Baking Championship, and I'm just like, and my dog Jesse.
Yeah, like it's great. It's fine. It's not a bad show. We had this discussion. It's Food Network is the number one hotel channel. Like, when you're at a hotel.
You know what's a good one for me? MSNBC for the Shark Tank
marathons.
Yes.
I think Brian said his number one was Bar Rescue.
I don't like that one.
You don't like Bar Rescue?
Nah.
That's disappointing.
Never liked it.
That's Michael Connor disappointing me here on the show. All right.
That's what I'm here for.
Lee Sterling gave you his picks earlier. We'll give you ours next. I got Jeremy's. I got Brian's. We'll give you ours as well. Three games each for the coming weekend in college football and in the NFL. We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, time for the picks. Our weekly picks in college football and in the NFL. It was a bad week for the show.
I see a lot of red on this sheet.
Each one of us went 1-2. I'm the only one above 500.
Yeah, you guys suck at this.
At this point,
it's not a shock that Jeremy's terrible. Yeah,
Jeremy's 13-20 on the year. Brian's 15-18. I've gone 1-5 in the last 2 weeks. I'm 17-16.
Take everything that's opposite of BMAC and Jeremy.
Yeah, we're not saying to go with our plays. Sometimes it's you have to fade them. And Jeremy has gone.
Jeremy got his first five right.
And then it's gone basically 1-2 every single week since week 4 with an 0-3. Jeremy has not had a winning week since week 3 of the NFL season, which was the second time.
But you know what, Joe? This. I'm seeing on this thing, I'm looking at it, you're the only one with 0-3 weeks twice.
Yeah.
That's bad, buddy.
No, three times.
Three times?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I'm still above 500 on the season.
How? Well, that's because you've had 3-0 weeks.
Multiple 3-0 weeks. I went 3-0, 0-3, 3-0, 0-3.
What a...
In a four-week stretch.
So basically just fade you... Yeah, fade
you got
look, every other week.
Watch the first game that I give you.
Okay.
And if it's wrong, they're basically all going to be wrong.
Okay.
Is the way it seems like it's going at this point in the season. So this is what Jeremy and Brian... Jeremy, this week, he got the under 43.5 in the Jets-Falcons game, over 41.5 in the Dolphins-Saints game. He's taking the Colts minus 4.5, which has become a good bit on the show. Because every time he picks against the Texans, they win. Brian's got the under 43.5 in the Denver-Washington game. The Lions covering 2.5 this weekend. And then Bama covering 6.5. So we will go. Normally we do snake draft. But since it's just the two of us, we'll just go back and forth.
Okay.
I'll let you do the honor of going first.
I'm staying in the good old trusted Big 12 here for me. And I'm going with Utah minus 11.5 against the Kansas Jayhawks.
Utah is very good.
They put up a lot of points.
They put up a lot of points.
Now, they give up a lot of points, yeah. But I feel like they could probably handle Kansas and cover 11.5.
Last week, I had regret. I had big-time regret with the Notre Dame game.
Yeah?
They were up 21-0 before the offense touched the field against Syracuse. A pick six, a pump block touchdown, a pick six.
Nice.
I didn't pick Notre Dame in that game.
Oof.
I'm still not going to pick Notre Dame minus 32.5 this weekend against Stanford.
Probably a good move.
I will take the over 51.5 against Stanford this weekend. Even though the game is at 9:30 p.m. Central Time, which is 10:30 Notre Dame time.
Oof.
So,
let's be honest. I'm staying up for that one. You are.
I am, because I've got a post-game show.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't.
But I'm pretty sure Marcus Freeman already has the Irish in California. Or they're getting there tomorrow.
Okay.
So they're going to have time to adjust.
It's always the move. I don't know why teams don't do that more often.
Don't understand it. Especially this week, like Thanksgiving week, when you don't have any responsibilities in school. You got to do that. All right, what's your next game?
All right, so I swear I did not steal the picks off Lee earlier. I did these before. I put them on my iPad before he came on. I like U of H plus 2.5 against Baylor. I think it's very disrespectful. I think I've seen Baylor play probably three times this year, and I do agree with what Lee said. I don't think that they play very hard. I think that is not a good program, not being run very well right now, and they're not very good. And I think, you know, obviously U of H has had some disappointment for a season that has had very high moments and probably exceeded expectations that they had. I think they'll easily cover the 2.5 against Baylor.
I'm surprised Dave Aranda's back.
I am too.
I think part of that is the fact that the guy who was running the college football playoff committee and who was the athletic director has been fired. I think that's official. I think I saw Outkick.
Former U of H guy too.
Yeah. So I think maybe because he got fired, it's kind of saving Dave Aranda right now, and he'll probably be on the hottest of hot seats next season. Kind of feels like he's the coach who gets fired after week three.
Yeah, for sure.
Like first college football coach fired next year, probably where my money would go. I'm going to bet on the best quarterback in the NFL this season, the MVP. And after watching last night's game a little bit, the Panthers, they're 6-6, but they stink. So give me the Rams, minus 10.5, on the road against the Carolina Panthers.
Stafford is slinging it.
Yeah, 25 touchdowns since he threw his last interception.
It's insane. They look really good.
It's a totally different team. It's weird because I want to give the Texans credit for only losing 14-9.
Yeah, Texans played them well.
But you have to remember, at one point, we didn't think Matt Stafford was going to play in that game.
Right.
Of his back injury.
Right.
So, it's a very different football team. And, the Rams are now the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. That's the team I would be betting on to win the Super Bowl right now. They are just cooking. Their defensive line, they are such a good football team.
They are.
Right now. So, I'll take the Rams minus 10.5. What's your last one?
I actually stayed all college here. And this one is more of a hate pick than anything else. I hate both teams, to be honest with you, but it's hate more for one than the other.
Okay.
And I'm taking the Texas Longhorns to cover the 2.5 against the Aggies.
Nice.
I don't think that the Aggies are going into Austin and getting a win. I know that I don't believe in the Longhorns all that much. I know that they have issues protecting the quarterback. I know that Arch Manning has been a big fat flop, honestly, for the expectation and the level that he got. I'm not impressed by anything that he does, really. I just think that the Longhorns will find a way to win.
I think they will, too. honestly.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Longhorns this weekend. I've been impressed with Arch Manning recently. Something against A&M, but I just think this is everything for UT this season. They're not going to make the playoffs. Todd's going to be mad at me. Sorry, Todd, and other Aggies listening.
They're still going to make the playoffs. It's fine. But the Aggies will be all right.
Honestly, I should be rooting for the Aggies because it just helps Notre Dame even more.
Yeah.
Like, there's more of an argument against Notre Dame if the Aggies don't run the table.
Yeah.
Because they've already got this Miami stuff going on, so I probably should want A&M to win this weekend, or on Friday night, which I'm so glad it's back on Friday. It's such a good thing.
Yeah, it fits there.
And my last one here, I've been going back and forth on this. I'm like, do I want to take the Bears to cover against the Philadelphia Eagles? Do I really want to do that?
After last weekend, man, watching the Eagles the other day, I mean,
I think I'm going to do it.
There's something wrong with them.
If the number was different, I would not be picking this game. But the Eagles are just not putting teams away.
They hate each other, too. That's the best part. You could just tell they hate each other.
The Bears are getting their two best players on their team back this weekend. 7 points is too much. I'll take the Bears plus +7.
All right.
I think they lose on Friday. Stupid Black Friday game in the NFL. Whatever. But I think the Bears cover this weekend against the Eagles. And still disappoint me in a way because I want them to be 9-3. All right. That's the fix for us. All of our picks, mostly bad. Guest fill-ins are 2-1 on the season.
Oh,
we've only had one fill-in, so.
Well, that's some heat on me.
Yeah, so
I feel really good about two of them. I don't know about the third.
All right, he's Michael Connor. I'm Joe George. Hour 3 of Jeremy and Joe coming up next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's, Jane. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.